ShasIlluminated.org presents the following shiur by Rabbi Levi Langer. Meseches Tamid is dedicated anonymously in honor of Rabbi and Mrs. Yaakov Metz.
Meseches Tamid, Daf Lamed Beis. The bulk of today's daf is comprised of the Agadat stories of Alexandrus Mukhtun, Alexander of Macedonia, or Alexander the Great. The Gemara describes something of a vikuach, a give and take, a question and answer that he had with Chachmei HaNegev, the sages of the south. There's a couple of Agadat stories that the Gemara follows up with. Some of the give and take that Alexander has with the Chachmei HaNegev are actually familiar from Pirkei Avos. Alexander asks them, who is a gibor? And they respond, HaKoyvish Es Yitzro, the true gibor, the person who's able to conquer his Yetzirah. Eidin Mikri Oshir, he says to them, who is the person who's called a wealthy man? And they say to him, HaSameach Bechalkoi, somebody who is happy with his lot. He says to them, he continues, which is actually not found in Avos, Mas Yase Odom VeYichya, what should a person do and be able to have life? So they say to him, Yomis Es Atmoi, he should sort of kill himself, the Rosh explains, he should be prepared to withhold from himself tanugim, to withhold the pleasures of life, even to undergo a kind of tsar in order to be able to undertake limud Torah and amelus b'Torah, and that's the way a person has a missile life. Alexander asked them, what should a person do when he'll lead to his death? So yechaya es atzmo, he should give life to himself, which the Rosh says means to be nimshach acharei ha'anugim, to follow nothing but a pleasure-seeking life that actually causes a person to die and to have no asidus, to have no posterity, to have nothing in the next world, olam haba. So we'll talk a little about some of the individual issues here, and then we'll talk a little about what the Meforshim bring out about Alexander, specifically Alexander the Great, having this kind of a give and take with the Zikne HaNegev. The first point, who is a gibor? So they respond, HaKoyvish Es Yitzro, which of course is in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Meiri in Pirkei Avos understands this from the vantage point. The Meiri says this is the greatest mulchoma that a person goes through in life, and that's a mulchoma against a person's teva. The Meiri says sometimes a person is a king and he's in charge of a whole army and he's a loichem and he fights great wars, but the greatest war, says the Meiri, is the mulchoma that a person fights against his teva, that's greater that's stronger and greater than a mechoma that a person fights against some kind of an outside force. The Meiri says the teva of a person is Shahateva Yisno Kol Omol. The teva of a person is to be lethargic and to be lazy and not to bother wanting to do anything which takes an exertion. The Yivchar Betoyelos Haboilov Pisoim. The person wants, so to speak, easy money or life to come to him easily. And you want things that don't take any kind of exertion. The yivchar b'tanugim ha'gufniyim, a person chooses for himself, just mitzad his teva, his guf, his yesohora, he picks for himself the physical pleasures, corporeal pleasures, tanugim ha'gufniyim, v'loyovin la'acharisam, he never thinks to what's going to be the end, how he could have something enduring out of life. So the person has to fight that war, says the Meiri, and that's the greatest of all wars, it's the greatest of all mochomos. It's familiar, the Bavusta piece that the Chovet Havovos says. Chovet Havovos speaks of the chochom who was waiting on the wharf for an army that had returned from battle. They were victorious in battle, and the soldiers are getting off of the ship. And the Chochom says to them, Shavtem mimuchoma hagdoilo, Shavtem mimuchoma haktani, you've returned back from the smaller war, Zokter, Hisatadula mimuchoma hagdoilo, prepare yourself for the greater war. Because the greater war is the war of day-to-day life, where a person fights against his Yetzirah, which is greater than any kind of outside battles that a person could fight on the battlefield. That's the Chovet Havovos says, the same point, really, as what the Meiri says over here. Rav Shach Zichron Livracha in his Shmuzin brings out a little bit different nekuda on this Indian of Ezel Gibor, who is the true Gibor in war, HaKoyvish Es Yitzro. Rav Shach says that a person who doesn't fight the inner battles of life and doesn't struggle with the inner struggles of life can never truly be called a Gibor, even if he has very big muscles and he's very powerful, he has a big arm and he is able to punch people, or maybe he has a very well politically connected and he's very powerful and he can do things to people that way. As Shach says, such a person can never be called that person himself, that the mensch alein is inherently a giber. Rather, he has a gvura which is external to himself. It belongs to his arm, it belongs to his physical connections, but the mensch alein, the person himself, can never be defined as a giber. Now, Shach says that the litmus test of that, for example, Zokter, that the person could be the most powerful person in the greatest position of power, and in a second he could lose it all by succumbing to some some taiva, based on coming to some midah ro, which the person never worked upon and never vanquished. That's what happens, Zokta, not infrequently in life. We see people who are very powerful, and they give into some taiva, or they give into some midah ro, and in a second they lose it all, and they lose everything that they have. And that person, says Rav Shach, even if right now he happens to be in a position of power, the power is extrinsic to him. And the might, or even his physical might that he has in his arms, his muscles, is all extrinsic to him and is not inherent within the person. That's why he said he could lose it in a second. The only emes gibur, who the mensch alein is defined as a gibur, that's the person who has the inner gevura of being able to struggle the struggles of life and be koivesh the taivois and be koivesh the yetzahoras that seek to fell him and to bring him down. And Shach says that's actually similar to the ezer who oshir. Chazal say, Ezer Huashi HaSamech B'chalkoi, as we'll see a little bit, that the Gemara says over here likewise. Rav Shach says, a person is not a Samech B'chalkoi, his Ashiris is Nisyachis to his bank account. His wallet is full of dollar bills. His bank account is full of dollars. But the person himself is not an Oshir. If you have a lot of money, but you can't appreciate any of it because you're just looking for more and more, and everything that you have just wants you to make, wants you to want and to desire more, so where's the Ashiris within the person? You don't internalize, you don't take it in at all. Such an Ashiris, Dr. Shach, this is saying that the Ashiris is extrinsic to you, it belongs to your bank account, it doesn't belong to you. The intrinsic Ashiris that inheres within the person, that's the person who is Sameach Bechalko, he can take it in his Ashiris within his own life. That's the same thing Rav Shach said with the Gibber, like we said, HaKovesh Yisutsu, without the Gvura of Kovesh Yisutsu, the ability to struggle the struggles of the Yetzohora and to be Kovesh one's Taivos and not to constantly be Nimshach after one's Taivos. If you don't have that Zok there, then you're not a true Gibber, a Gibber, the Gvura that's Nisyach that relates to the person herself. Likewise, a little bit on the next Shaklavataya, Alexander asked them, who is the Oshir? And they respond, HaSameach B'chalkoi, the person who is happy with his lot. So on this, the Rosh says over here, that's a reference to the person who is happy with the amount of money that he has and isn't looking to have more money, is happy with the Isho, the marriage that he did, isn't looking to have a fancier marriage, whatever it is exactly, is happy with his life, and the person is Loi Otzla Hashir, V'loi Choymedes She'enish Aloy, Zok the Rosh, the person not constantly stooping and trying to get more and more Ashiris in life, is not constantly desiring things which aren't his. So that's cool. That's Sameach B'chalkoi, and that's the Emes HaOshir. There's a different Nekuda somewhat that's brought by Rav Chaim Volozhin in his Peirush on Pirkei Avos and the Ruach Chaim on Avos. Over there, Rav Chaim Volozhin is actually in the Memches Dvorim. Sameach B'chalkoi is actually twice in Pirkei Avos. Once is in the Ezer HaOshir Sameach B'chalkoi, another is in the Brais of the Perek Vov of Pirkei Avos. It speaks about the Torah Nichnis, the Memches Dvorim, the 48 Kinyani HaTorah. So one of them is Sameach B'chalkoi. The president's happy with his lot. And over there, Rav Chaim Volozhin speaks about that on the one hand he says any otzla hashir, which is the same expression the Rosh uses over here, not constantly stooping to acquire more and more wealth. The gam, Zok Rav Chaim Volozhin, she'eino hoylech begedoylois belimuzoi, that he's not trying to make himself into the biggest goyin adir and try to take in kol haTorah kula at once. Rak ma'at ma'at, he's prepared to learn little by little achi uboki bahen, till he takes in what he takes in, he knows and he chazes, and then he takes in the next thing. Ve'eino mitzgoya lei dahar bevapam achas v'ideiz yishkach hakol, and he doesn't have the guy of trying to take everything in, and then not chazering and not properly internalizing or understanding it, and that's a recipe for forgetting everything. So it's interesting that Rav Chaim Volozhin brings that here in a nekuda that's brought out by some others as well, and that's the nekuda of Sameach B'chalkoi in Ruchnias. This is a tricky point, that's a dakistika, a subtle nekuda that a person has to understand. Chmen Avada, a person has to always have aspirations, he has to have drives, a person has to want to know more, a person has to want to be bigger in Torah, bigger in Ruchnias, there's no question of that. But at the same time, Rav Chaim Volozhin finds that there is a Sameach B'chalkoi in Ruchnias as well. And a person who doesn't recognize, thinks I'm going to be Rav Chaim Oizer, I'm going to be the Rogatchover, and try to learn Kol HaTorah Kula at once. So such a person, that's what Rav Chaim Volozhin says, you end up not having anything. You have to prepare to take out the time to understand what you're learning, even if it means taking out a little more time. You have to prepare to chazer on a regular basis, to review, even if that means that you're, so to speak, taking up your time, you could have gone weiter in that time. And you have to be prepared to build little by little, to build Oitzrois HaTorah little by little, with a havana, with an understanding, with a chazora, and that's the way a person is matzliach, a person who is misgoya by him, in the language of Chaim Volozhin, he can't be Sameach B'chalkoi, he thinks he has to be the biggest person, and maybe doesn't chaz, he doesn't stop to understand, that's the person who ends up learning lots and lots and lots, and forget the yishka chakal, and ends up forgetting everything. So there's a delicate balance there, but it's interesting that Chaim Volozhin and others speak about this musig of Sameach B'chalkoi in Ruchnias as well. There's actually, in the Sif Sichayim, Rav Chaim Friedlander in Chelek Gimel, he actually puts the two ideas together, Samech Bechelkoi, both in Gashmias and possessions, as well as in Ruchnias. And Chaim says a couple of Nekudas. One thing he says is Samech Bechelkoi, the expression Chelkoi, he could have said other things, you know, Samech Mamom and Shaloi, Samech and what he has in different areas of life. Samech Bechelkoi, Zokta, means to be Samech in your Chelek in life. And that's because each and every single individual has their Chelek in life, which is unique and which is different from every other person in the world. And that's the chelek that the Eivishter gives the mensch, which is in accordance with the tafkid, the unique tafkid and purposefulness that each individual has to be memale in this world, which is unique to every individual. And in accordance with that, the person is given the gashmius and the ruchnius in life. He's given the different capacities and the abilities they have in life, all in accordance. It's precisely calibrated from the Eivishter, from the on high, in order to be able to bring about the realization of the specific goal that the Eivishter gave you in life. I once saw a grad many years ago from Rami Pano in the Asura Mamoris that he says that we say in davening, it's in the Mishnah Oris, that we ask the Eivishter to give us our chelek and Torah. And Rami Pano says this meaning of chelkeinu b'teira secha zokta means that every single yid has his own chelek and Torah. Every single yid has a different nekuda, a different understanding, a different havona, and different sugyas in the Torah, and different parishes in the Torah. Every person, every single yid has their own chelek and Torah, and that's what we're asking the Eivishter for. The same chelkeinu b'teira secha, that you Eivishter should give me our chelek, what's uniquely mine. And Rav Chaim Friedlander is mamshich, and this is a yesoid that really is already originated by his Rebbe, the Michtam Leor Rav Dessler, but the Michtam Leor brings at the same point, that they both say that the accordance with the chelek that the person, the Eivishter, allocated for each individual, their unique goal in life, which is theirs alone to realize, and is not precisely shared by anybody else in the whole universe, what's uniquely mine. In accordance with that, the Eivishter gave you the precise amount of money that you need to bring it about. Not less money, not more money. That would mess less money, would mess you up, and so would more money. You have to have the exact amount of money, the exact amount of kishroinos, intellectual abilities, the exact amount of talents, or chushoi, kishroinos of tchunas nafsho, the different midos that there are within the person. That's what Dessler says, and Friedlander says, all of these are exactly calibrated in accordance that you should have the exact challenges in life that are precisely to realize your goal, and the exact ability to confront and meet those challenges head on, and to succeed in them. So Meila, a person who realizes that, says Chaim Friedlander, a person who recognizes that, is a sameach b'chelkoi. He's sameach in his chelik in life, and his goal that the Eivishter gave him uniquely, and mainly he's sameach in the exact amounts of momnois and ruchnius and tchunas nefesh and the IQ and whatever, all the different abilities that he has, the limitations that you have as well, because the limitations as well, they too are necessary to present those challenges and to give you the ability to bring about the precise goals that the Eivishter gave you in life. So mainly Zokter, the Sifti Chaim says, that a person who recognizes that it's a sameach, sai in the amount of momoin that they have, in the gashmius, and sai in the ruchnius, in the amount of tchunas and nefesh, and the ability to learn Torah, to have a good head, or average head, whatever it is exactly, all the different capacities, different talents that some people have less than others, some people have more, all of these, a person who recognizes that all that goes around into the goal that the Eivishter uniquely gave out to me, that's a sameach b'chelkoi, and that person is sameach, and his chela both in ruchnius, and the gashmius as well. Along these same lines, there's actually a well-known little story that's brought down by the Mashgiach Birucham and the Das Chochma Musa. He brings down that Naftali Amsterdam was once with the Talmidim of the Rabbi Saul Salanter, and they were on Purim, and everybody was drinking, and they were a bit longishikit, and the Naftali cried out to Rabbi Saul Salanter. He says, Rabbi, halavai would have the midos of the Rabbi, the midos of the Rabbi, Rabbi Saul Salanter, halavai would have the heart, the lev of the Yesod Rishoyosh HaAvoida, and halavai would have the head, the cup of the Balashagasari, I would be able to reach all kinds of gewaldige, incredible spiritual madrigas I would be able to become. Who knows what? I mean, if I would have the incredible head of the Shagasari and the heart of the Soyd Vesherish Avoida and the Midas of the Rebbe of Yisro. So Bissol Solanter responded on this path. He says, Naftali, mit dein kop, mit dein hearts, mit dein midois. With your head, with your heart, and with your midois. In other words, that the Eibishter gave you the cup that you have and the heart that you have and the midas and the effort that you have. That's your job. That's what the Shagasari had, that was his job. Your job is to take the ability and the talents, the kishroinus, the Eivishter gave uniquely to you, that are yours to utilize in your avodas Hashem, and to realize your tafkid achayim, your goal for which the Eivishter created you for. Now, for Seitzach, as we mentioned, some of the elements of this Gemara are already mentioned in Pirkei Avos, and we also have over here, Ezeh Chochem Horoyas HaNoilod, who is the wise person, a person who sees what's going to come, and the outcome of one's actions, and of one's choices that one makes. That's also in Pirkei Avos. Zion Shul, that's actually a little different than Pirkei Avos. Now I think about it. Over there it says, Halim Mikol Odom. So here, well, actually, let's negate to the, what we want to discuss here. The fact that the Gemara puts these Shakavataya here, not Stam in a vacuum, but rather in the context, we have them described in the context of a conversation between Alexander Smukhtin, Alexander the Great, and the Chachmei HaNegev. This is something which is discussed over here by the Mashal. Mashal writes that if you think about it, Alexander the Great, now Alexander is a person who's tremendously talented. He's the most powerful person in the ancient world. He conquered the whole known world. And the Mashal brings down in this, we know that Alexander, when he was young, he was actually tutored by Aristotle, so he had the abilities in the world of philosophy as well. And he knew chokhmos and he knew philosophy, and he was a gibor, he was an osher, he had acquired tremendous riches in the course of conquering the world. So he had all of these qualities, and Alexander asked the Zikne HaNegev, he asked the chachomim, who is a chacham, and who is an osher, and who is a gibor. And for Steitzich, Alexander, from his perspective, he knows the answer, and he's expecting them to affirm, you know, like any super powerful king, he wants his understanding to be affirmed, and he wants them to tell him, you, somebody lives like you, you're the philosopher, and you're the chacham, and you're rich, and you're wise, and you're all-powerful conqueror. So he's expecting to hear that the Zikne HaNegev are going to reinforce his own perspective. He's the Chochem. He himself is a Chochem. He has Chochem, he has Ashirus, and V'chulu Azoy Vayte. As Zot HaMashor, the Zikne HaNegev come with a completely different perspective. It's in ganz in English. It's a complete departure from Alexander's perspective. And the Zikne HaNegev are looking upon it in terms of Nitzchius, and looking upon it in terms of what are the enduring qualities in life. What's the emes of Chochem in life? What's the emes of Gvuru? What's the emes of Ashirus? And to have a chokhmah, which is some philosophy and the Weltarei, and this interesting speculation that you can speculate in philosophical questions, that's not the real richtige chokhmah in life. The real richtige chokhmah in life is a royas anoyle, the person who recognizes how applying chokhmah to his life, if you apply or make a certain choice, will arrive at a particular outcome. A different choice will arrive at a different outcome. So you know how to take your chokhmah and apply it in life and make the right choices and live the right kind of a life. That's where the real chokhmah is. Similarly, Zokta Masho, Eidhu Oshir. So Alexander is expecting to hear that his Ashir is. He acquired millions and billions of dollars in the course of conquering the world. Of a nishdem, they're saying that's not the Ashirus. The emesah Ashirus is what's within. It's the smaller, humbler Ashirus, so to speak, of a sameach bechelkoi. The same thing with Gvura, for Steitzach Alexander is the biggest giber. But at the same time, he's expecting for Steitzach to hear from them an affirmative that will affirm for him. He's the big giber. And they say to him, nay, nishdos is Gvura. That's what you have, what you're experiencing. That's not the real Gvura is. The humble kind of a Gvura. That the Mashal gets into others and mamshich a little bit on Ezu Mayas Odom Vyichya, Yomis Esatzmoy. As for Steitzach, Alexander is living on top of the world and he wants to be able to enjoy life, and he has all the different wealth and riches and spoils of war and everything that he has. And they tell him that the emes achiyos in life doesn't come from that. You know what? Sometimes it actually comes from depriving yourself, like we said from the Rosh, to Metzayah Esatzmoy Mehatanugim, in order to bring about something enduring in life. Like the Rosh says in Limud. A person is prepared to give something up in life, to give up the external kind of satisfactions and taivos of life in order to make something enduring out of one's life. That's the emes amayas odom v'yichya. We'll discuss later on, Grada, from the Maharal, when we get to the next mitzvah, and we'll discuss the story in other days. The Maharal brings out that actually we're told that Alexander Smukhtin actually died young. He died very young, right at the height of his powers, and he was out there ready for another battle, and he died mysteriously. So Alexander actually, he's takanat zoicha to the yichya, and we'll see how the Maharal actually brings to this point later on. But the Nakudi over here is, according to Rabbi Mashal, brings it out, that this Gemara, it says some of the same ideas, some of the same yesoidos that we have elsewhere in Chazal. But here we're being brought out that what you have sometimes, and this is discussed in the context of, from the perspective of Alexander the Great, who's the biggest Oishir and the biggest Gibor, and he has Chochmah, and he combines all the different qualities. And even this greatest Alexander represents the superficial Chochmah and Gvura and Ashiris in life. And there is the team for the Chochmah Ashiris in life, the ones that are enduring are the ones that are not obvious, but you have to have the Zikne HaNegev to articulate it, and you have to live a life that is in accordance with that. The Gemara brings out on another base that Alexander is traveling in his travels with his armies. He gets to the Pesach of Gan Eden, Motel Pischa de Gan Eden. He's traveling far, far afield till he gets to the Odori of Gan Eden, and he calls out with a very loud voice, Pischuli Bova, open the gate for me. So from Gan Eden they told him back, Nay, Zahashar Lashem Tzadikim Yovoy Ovoy, only a tzaddik could enter into this gate and you can't. So Alexander responded, Ano Nami Malka, Ano Mechshech HaShivna, what are you talking about? I'm a king and I'm very, very choshev. How could you say to me that I'm not allowed entry. Yohovali Midi, give me something at least, something from Gan Eden. So they gave to him, Gogalta de Eino, Gogalta Chodo, they brought, gave him a round spherical thing. It seems that at the beginning he didn't understand what it was. So he brings it back and he weighs it, and he weighs all of the gold and silver that he had and puts on the other side of the balance scale this little ball, and the ball, this little sphere, is not outweighed by all of the gold and all the silver. It's heavier than all. So he asked the Rabbonon is my high, what is this sphere? That he felt, they told him, Gogalt at the end of the Bishop of Adomo, it's the eye of a flesh and blood human being. The Loi Kosova that's never satisfied with any riches. So you put all the riches that you have in one balance pan, and the eye wants more and more and more, and outweighs all the riches. He said to them, how do you know that's what it is? So they said to him, take a little bit of dirt and cover the eye so it can't see anymore, and the moment that you cover it, it's going to be outweighed by all the kesef and the zov. So that's the Gemara. The Maral understands, he writes that this Gemara is not kipshutoi, the Chazal is speaking of limudim and tifa limudim and soidois and concepts which are articulating in the language of this story of this maisa and draping it in the life of Alexander the Smukhtan. The Maral brings out, there's a couple of places, we'll say over from the Nesivos Oilom, where the Maral has a bit of an arichos on this Gemara, where he speaks about the soidois the Chazal are taking, are bringing out with this maisa. So the Maral says that the person, and many people talk there, a roidef after ashiros in life, the roidef as fulfillment of oilam hazeh and ashiros in life, and he brings out the pasuk says in Kehelas gam ein oiloi sisba oisher. No matter how much ashiros a person has, he always wants more and he wants more and he wants the next thing and the next thing, and no matter how much one has, a person is never saveya and is never fulfilled with any of that. And this is brought out, Zakti Maharal, with the story of the life story of Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great is this powerful king, and there's other powerful kings, a powerful king, so he conquers a little bit, he adds to his melucha. But Alexander, he conquers and he conquers, and he goes further and further and further afield, and he gets all the way, he's looking to get to the Far East. Alexander goes way, way, way beyond the ordinary parameters of where his melucha started out. So is that a milah or is that a chesora, says Maharal. He says that Alexander held it was a milah. He held it was a sign that he's the most choshev person in the world, and he's the greatest king in the whole wide world, and Vaharai is able to conquer all the other kings, and that's articulated in this Gemara. The Gemara says Alexander gets to Gan Eden, which Gan Eden be'etzem, I mean, what human blood, flesh and blood, ordinary human being, feels entitled to walk into Gan Eden. It's impossible to do that, but Alexander felt that he could. You know, he's never stopped by anything. There's no limitation that stops him, no geographic limitation. As the case is, he goes all the way far out, and nothing could possibly stop him, and he goes out to Gan Eden. He says, what are you denying me entry? I'm a melech and I'm choshev. Which means, the way that's articulating the idea, says the Maharal, that Alexander felt that the fact that he was so tremendously all-conquering and all-powerful, that was a sign that he was the greatest king. But the emes is nishtozoi, and that's what the limit of the story is. The limit of handing him out the eye, and the eye outweighs all the kesef and the zov, and v'chul, the rest of the story, but it brings out zok there. The emes is that the fact that Alexander went more and more and farther and farther and farther, and instead of enjoying what he had, and instead of experiencing and doing the leadership and leading the countries that he already had, he just constantly spends his life out on the battlegrounds trying to get more and trying to get more and trying to get more. That's a sign, Zakta Maharal, that Bemis, he doesn't have anything. That all he has is a drive to acquire, and beyond that he has nothing. His life is empty, because the moment that he gets something, he's just looking for the next battle. He's looking for the next battle after that. And Zakta, what he has is the koyach ha'ayin, the taiva, to get more and more and more, and nothing outside of that, just the koyach ha'ayin. And Maharal says a person like that is not a true melech and can never be considered a melech or a leader of any kind. That's why exactly at the end of the story, Chazal bring out that you take this eye which outweighs all of the gold and all silver and everything, all the possessions that a person can possibly have, you put a little bit offer on it and it outweighs, and the eye all of a sudden loses all the weight that it had and loses everything that it had. That's what is the soif of such a person, Zok there. He could only be satiated by death, and that's what this offer is. That's all. Death comes along and takes away for this person the drives and the taivas and brings an end to them, because since it was nothing more than drives and taivas, there was nothing substantive to it right from the get-go, therefore it can never be brought by it to an end except by death. And that's the Maharal says, Lefikoch, the Maharal says that the limud, Zokta, what Chazal are trying to bring out from this Gemara, is Yesh li zohem and amida hazois, is we bring out to you, we're articulating to you a person, how careful you have to be to get from this midah, that shaloya hechoser tomet, to not constantly feel that I'm missing and I'm missing and I'm missing. Shaloyagia loy kach gam kein, that the person shouldn't have to come to such an end. And in Shemayim they say there's no soif to such a person, no way to bring his life to fruition except by bringing it to an end. And Maral says that Chazal understood that in them licked this idea, the idea that Alexander died very young and he died while he was still out there, very, very far from home and far from Greece and Macedonia, somewhere out readying himself for the next battle. And Chazal, that Alexander dies young, which is alluded to in the Psukim in the Neil, when they speak about the Asidus, the world history, it speaks about the great king and about how when he's so great, he's going to be Tishover, he's going to be brought to an end. And that's the Maharal, that's articulated by this Gemara and this Lashon over here, putting a little bit earth on the eye. The great Alexander is brought low and just dies suddenly in the middle of nowhere, and all of his tremendous power and wealth and everything that he had all comes to an end. Zokta Maharal, because what we're trying to tell you is that's the only soif that Alexander could have. In Shemayim, they see he's not realizing any of his malchus. He's not trying to make good out of any of it. He's not trying to be a leader that should bring out the koichos within the people. Stam just never survey and misave taivus from more and more and more. The only soif that there could possibly be is death, and that's how you find Zok there that Alexander Taka came to an early end and died far away from home while he was still involved in his battle. The Sefer Ran the Biker over here on Tomid brings out Zok there that this eye, the Gogoyles, that came from Gan Eden. Now, Bemisi, if you think about it, it doesn't sound like such a koya hanefesh has come from Gan Eden, because it's just the Tai voice and it's never surveyed like the Gemara brings out over here. Sho'il va'avada in lois hisbano, ve'ene odon lois hisbano, that the Gemara makes reference over here to the Pasuk in Mishlei, the eye is never satiated. A case in what to belong, what was doing in Gan Eden in the first place? In Gan Eden, they handed the eye out from Gan Eden. So the Ran of the Baker says that the emes is that the koya ha'inayim of the person, the idea of visioning that a person should want, is really an appropriate thing. A person should desire to have to bring out your abilities, your koichos, what you have, to be able to make the kind of panosa that you need, to be able to bring out your life. It's a positive thing, Zokter. Calls man that the eye is a ganeden deko eye, Zokter. It's able to bring to a person the richtige goals and the richtige perspectives to realize your goals in life. But when it's brought into this world, when that same eye is taken out of ganeden and handed over to koyach ha'taivo of Alexander the Great, to the Yetzirah of Alexander, Zokter, that's when it becomes eingesunken in the gashmi, in the taivos of Olam Hazeh, and the exact same koyach ha'ayin just leads a person to frustration when he gets eingesunken, immersed in Olam Hazeh, and to not realize any of the good that there is. Just to bring out one last point, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, really in Perek Hey, brings out the same point as this in the Milon Mishnah, Komi Shiesh Biyodoy Shloish Dvorim Halalu V'Tamidah Shal Avram Avinu Shloish Dvorim Achayir, and the Mishnah says Tamidah Shabilam Harosha. So there's this, as the Mishnah sets up, so to speak, two yeshivas, you know, the Tamidah of Avram Avinu and Tamidah of Bilam Harosha. That means they're right down to today. The people are Talmidim of Avram, Talmidim of Bilam. So one of the things that the Mishnah brings out over there is Ayin Toivah. Talmidim of Avram Avinu have Ayin Toivah, Talmidim of Bilam HaRosha have Ayin Roah. A good eye and a bad eye. The Rambam in the Perusha Mishnayos says, and other Mefarshim say similar, the Rambam says that Ayin Toivo is a person who is able to, who has the Koyach HaHestapkus, Hamidas HaHestapkus, it means one is satisfied with one has, and is not looking to take things from others, and not looking to take things away from others, you're satisfied with what you have. And the Hepach Mizazok there is Ayin Roah. Ayin Roah means a person who's never satisfied, and his eye is constantly looking and looking and looking to take more and more. So there's the Rambam, from Avinu we find that Avram conquered the four kings, and he could have had tremendous amount of spoils of war, and Avram tells the Melech Zodim, I'm not taking a thing. And Michush va'atzroich na'al v'im ekach mikol shaloch. And that's what Ram says, that's the ultimate hestapkus, the ultimate ability to not take and to not be a taker and to be satisfied with what one has is demonstrated by Avram's perspective. Others bring out the Batanura, and others bring out that you find the grap the opposite by Bilam. And Bilam says that they're trying to get Bilam to come, and the Chmel sent to curse Klal Yisrael. So Bilam was told by the Abishter that he can't go. So he says, immediately Balak Maloy Beisoy Kesef Izov, even if Balak would give him his whole house full of Kesef and Zov, like Uchalavar is Pi Hashem. That's what Bilam says, I can't. So there's a diuk that Benny Mephoshim bring out that seems that's the kind of person that Bilam was, Bamis. And that Bilam really badly wanted Maloy Beis or Kesef Azov. And he wanted the whole house full of, he never satisfied with the Kesef and the Zov that he had, an entire house full of Kesef Azov. That's the Ayin Ruh of a Bilam Harosham. Which is really the same point that the Gemara is bringing out over here, Gradin, is this, just with the koyach ha'ayin, that a person should not allow oneself to be, so to speak, enslaved by the eye, by the desire and the drive to whatever you have, to whatever you can see, to get more and more and more. And that's the koyach ha'ayin, which, so to speak, Chazal tell us that Alexandrius was enslaved to it in the way the Maharal brings out, and the Mele, he never actually realized any of the wealth that he has, he never experienced any fulfillment from it, and rather, like there was meis b'chatzi yomav, like the Maharal said, he died young without any ever having experience the satisfaction of any of the things that he got in life. One final point, and I got it over here, and then we'll talk a little about the sugyas that you have in the next peric. The Gemara brings out near the end of the peric over here, the Gemara says that Tomas Elio, Gehenim, where's Gehenim from? So we have the gears of Gehenim, the Milam and Rakia. Gehenim is above the Rakia, above the sky. It's not clear exactly, it's certainly a chiddushic thing that Gehenim should be above the sky. The Rosh over here and the Ravid, the Mefarshim bring out over here that they seem to have had a slightly different gears. So they, without the word Lamaila, there's a Gehenna Minarakia. That's what it should say. Gehenna from the sky. And what the Rosh says over here is that so Gehenna Minarakia, the Rosh says, Minar Dinur Shabom is a Yosan Shalchayas, Aroy Shishoim Yochol. This is just a mistake in the gears the way we have it here. It should say Aroy Shishoim Yochol. But before I should point out, this is actually based on a Sugya in the second paragraph of Chagiga, where the Gemara indicates this thing that is the Nar Dinur, so to speak. There is these Kabbalah ideas, the river of fire that based on Pesukim rather, but it's one of these are concepts in Soidus HaTeir, the river of fire, which is Zeyosan Shachayos from the Shvitz, so to speak, of the Chayos HaKoidesh, the Emo and the Yira that they have in the presence of being Meshamish, the Ebishter. So this river of the Narad in the river of fire comes from them and it goes down to the Rishoyim. Like the Gemara speaks out in the Chagiga, it goes down onto the heads of the Rishoyim, and that is Gehenim, like the Gemara brings out of it here. In other words, it's just a Gehenim in a Rakia. Gehenim comes from the Rakia. Fashteitzuch, this is a very sauce in the Ke'inyan that we don't really know what it means. I wanted to say over a couple of lemudim that you have and a couple of achroinim bringing out what they found in this Gemara of the Nar Dinur that comes down to the head of the Rishoyim, and that's the Gehenim. Reb Tzadik and the Tzidkas HaTzadik speaks of the Musig that you may be familiar with, is a notion that a person becomes eingesunken in Taivois, he's sunken, immersed in Taivois in this world, so with Neshama when he dies, Neshama leaves the next world, and Neshama is impacted by that, and Neshama stays with the same Taivois and the same stupidities that it got stuck with in this world, it stay wants those same things in the next world. Fashteitzuchit says, sticks like a thaw some in the next world. There's no mocking for these drives and taivois. But the Neshama is stuck with all those taivois drives when it departs from the world, the same that it sunk itself into in this world. And the Tzaddik says over there that you have to get rid of it in some manner, and Gehenna is going to have to take care of this in some way. Gehenna is going to have to cleanse the person and remove from him all the taivois and all the tchunois drives, the bad attributes and characteristics that the person sunk oneself into and acquired and picked up in this life. So the Tzaddik, when the person leaves this world and he comes into the Neshama, comes into contact in whatever way with the Nar Dinur, that's the Nor Shal Eish, the river of fire, that's from the Zeyosan Shal Chayois, which is from the tremendous, incredible Yiras HaRoimimus and Yira of the Ebishter that the Chayos HaKoidesh have, when you come in contact with the Yishamayim of the next world, that's like a powerful fire, it's a cleansing fire, that's it's called the Nar Dinur, a Nor Fire, a fire of Eish, which burns all the Taivois Rois that the person had managed to acquire and pick up within the Nefesh, and that Yira, the Koyach Yira of the Yishamayim, cleanses it and burns it away, and that's an Akudah the Chazal bring out when they say that the Gehenim of the next world, it comes from the fear of the Zeyosan Shachayas, so to speak, the Shvitz, it's a Moshul, the tremendous Emo that the Chayas HaKodesh has. Rav Dessler speaks at about this Gemara a little bit in the Nar Dinur, etc., in the Mechtam B'yol Chelek Gimel, and he brings out a somewhat different Akudah. Rav Dessler says that in order for a person to steig in life and to be able to grow in Ruchnius, you have to be Nichnan to be an Eved Hashem. You can't be arrogant and expect just to take and take everything for yourself. You have to be humble and be subservient to the responsibilities that the Eibishter placed upon you. It's like the Desla, a person who does not humble himself and does not machnia himself in this world, has to achieve the same achievement in the next world, the same hachno in the next world, because no matter what, a person, the Shama, has to go through and achieve what they want from the Shama, and if you don't do it in this world, you do it in the next world. That that person was a big balgayiv in this world, and constantly misgoy and just took everything for himself, and never was nichna to the avodas of the avodas Hashem, such a person gets to the next world and experiences the tremendous year, the incredible Emo of coming in the presence of the Emo, the Zeyosan Shalchayo is Zokter, and sees the tremendous Hisbatlus that he's been nothing, should have been nothing compared not just to the Eivishter, but even the incredible Ruchniyistika entities that there are, the Malachim and the Sarfim Milo that there are in Shemayim, and such a person is filled with the biggest sense of bittul, a sense of nothingness, and at that moment, Dr. Dessler, the person goes through the Nefesh of the Choyte, goes through in the next world, the tremendous Charota Amuka, the incredible Charota, the regret that they completely wasted their life, and they made themselves into something when really they were just puffing themselves up and was just fooling themselves, hypocrisy their whole lives. In reality, they were never were this big shot that they made themselves into. And with that charot, as Dr. Dessler, and that hachnoah that the person experiences the next world, durch them, the person is able to fulfill, at least at that point, something of what he was supposed to achieve in this world with the hachnoah and the recognition of the avdus that a person has supposed to have to avoid this Hashem. The next parak goes on and it describes the Seder Avoid of the Kohanim of the Mikdash, and it says that Omalehem Amonos, the appointed one, would tell the Kohanim that they should be Birchu Brocha Achas. Thus says that the Kohanim are going to daven a very short abridged tefillah at this point, because they don't have a lot of time, and they're having a shorter tefillah, so they mevorech one of the brochas of Birchas Krishma, and they would make the brocha, they would say Aseret HaDibrois, and they would say Shema Vohayim Shemoyim Vayoymer, and say other brochas as mentioned in the Mishnah. The Rishonim over here, the Rosh and other Rishonim bring down a sugya in Brachas Daf Yud Aleph, that the Gemara gets into a couple of issues. First of all, the Gemara brings down a machloikis of which bracha it was. Birchu bracha achas, which bracha was it? The Gemara brings down that Shmuel said that the bracha was Ava Rabba, the single bracha they just made Ava Rabba, and the Shlokish, apparently, Kepshutoy, the Shlokish said it was Yoytse Ur, the first bracha of the Birchas Krishma. That's one issue, one machloikis, which of the two brachas it was. Then the Gemara brings down within the sheet of a Shlokish itself that it's not so clear exactly what a Shlokish said, because what a Shlokish actually discussed on the basis of our Mishnah was that you see from this Mishnah that brochois ain't ma'akvois zu es zu, that the brochois of Yoytzer of a rabba not ma'akev each other, that you could have one without the other. So what does that mean exactly? Brochois ain't ma'akvois. The Gemara actually has two stodom over there. One side is that they would make the Yoytzer, just the Yoytzer, they skipped Avarabba entirely. So you see the brochois are not ma'akev each other. Otherwise, how could they make one brocha Yoytzer and skip Avarabba completely? There's another side of the Gemara over there that they actually said Avarabba, and at that point in time, it was so early in the morning, it was before Mishigakir, it wasn't light at all, and you really couldn't say Yoytzer. So afterwards, when it was later in the day, and they had the opportunity, they would have to say Yoytzer later on, and according to that, the member of a Shlokish is fatayt to mean Seder Brochus Ein Ma'akvois, that the Seder is not Ma'akiv. That says that normally, of course, the Seder is Yoytzer, and then Avarabo, but from our Mishnah, that according to this reading of it, the Mishnah is saying that they made it Avarabo and Shema, and later in the day, they said Yoytzer. So you see that Avarabo, the Seder of Avarabo and Yoytzer, is not ma'akev each other. So that's the sugya of the Gemara. Two shailas in terms of understanding this Mishnah, which bracha it is, and number two is there a concept over here that seder ha-bracha is ein ma'akvois, the avarabba then according to some you say yoytzer later on. There are a number of Rishonim that take Yesoidos and say Yesoidos in this Gemara, in the Sugya. The Ben Hanadil, brought down by the Ur Zeruah, goes Lufi Ha'emes, Lamaskona, with the notion of Seder Brochus and Ma'akvois. So he said that they would say Avarabba earlier on, they would say Krishma, and then later on in the day they would say Yoytzer. And the Ben Hanadil says, you see from over here, that Seder Brochus and Ma'akvois, and the Ur Zeruah says in this famous Yesoid, that the Ruah says, you see from over here, Zokter, that you can make a Berchas HaMitzvah by the Eved, any party who is supposed to make a Berchas HaMitzvah before the mitzvah, like the Gemara says in a number of places, but if for whatever reason you forget, or whatever reason you did not say the Berachah Mitzvah before the mitzvah, but the Eved, you can make it after the mitzvah. And this is actually the famous Ur Zeruah Shita brought down in the Poiskim. It's against the Rambam and others who hold that the Berachah must be said before the mitzvah and cannot be said after. Ur Zeruah says that, but the Eved, you make it after, and he brings, this is his, actually his Ikar Raya, it's from here, because he says that the Berachah of Krishma are Berachah Mitzvahs, and how could it be that the person says Krishma and then later in the day he's going to say Yotzer, you're making the bracha after you already made the mitzvah. So you see from over here that in this case it was not possible to do everything before, and maybe you make the bracha after the Krishma and Yoytzer. He actually says a couple of other rayas, for example, Tfilas Ager, the halacha is, the Gemara tells us that when a ger is toivel, he can't make the bracha before he's toivel because of the fact that he's not even Jewish then. So you make the bracha, you're toivel, and you make the bracha afterwards, and there's a ruah, but that's another example, a couple of rayas he brings, that you see that you can make a bracha after the fact, even after the mitzvah. For states, as far as the second raya goes, he's assuming that he can make a raya. He's bringing a raya from, so to speak, from lo yefsha to efsher. In other words, the case where Chazal had to misaken, like Tvilos Ger, they had to misaken the bracha after the mitzvah. But the Zeru understood that he never would have said that if it wouldn't be the chutzpah d'yevet. He could make a bracha the mitzvah always after a mitzvah. At least it's doable, and therefore they were misaken it even the chatchila by the Tvilos Ger. But when again to our sugya, what the Zeru is taking out of our sugya is really a raya that at some level the Zeru held that both birchas of brachas of Krishma relate to the Shema in the manner of the birchas of mitzvahs, because that's what he's saying. In other words, we're discussing here the bracha of Yetzer'er, which for Seitzach is not a birchas of mitzvahs on Krishma in any narrow sense. It's not like you say a Sheker Deshonu or anything like that. Nonetheless, the Ozeru understood that both brachas of Krishma have a yachas of birchas of mitzvah. Of course, they don't have the nusach, and of course, they have a complex theme. Each one has its own theme. Yetzer'er is on the oyer, and Avarabah is Beikar on Torah. Nonetheless, they have the takona of birchas of mitzvahs is applicable to them as well, and they are brachas on the mitzvah in the manner of birchas of mitzvahs, in the mitzvah of Krishma, and therefore, if you can make this bracha of Yoytzer after the Krishma, from there, the Ozeru Asparazois, that he brings a raya from there, that any birchas of mitzvahs could always be said after the mitzvahs, at least b'dievet. So that's the biggest side of the Ozeru, which, as we'll see, other Rishonim very clearly argue on, and this notion, in other words, that both of the brachas of Avraham and Yoytzer have a label of a birchas of mitzvahs. The Rashba in Brochus brings down Rav Haigoin. Rav Haigoin is the subject of a great controversy in the later Achroinim in terms of how to understand what he's saying. A very sausantic Rav Haigoin. Rav Haigoin writes that he says the same Yesoi that you see from the Gemara, called the Maskona Sasugi over there in Brochus, that the Pshat and the Brocha Achas that you say over here, and then later on you're going to say the Yoytzer, first you make Avarabba before the Yakir, Mishi Yakir, and you say the Krishma, and then later on the Kohen says Yoytzer later on. So he says Yesoi is what you see from the Sugya, the Seder Brachos is not ma'akvot, so that the Seder is ma'akev. You made the Avarab in this case earlier before Yetzer, but the Brachos themselves are ma'akev. And the Rav Haigoin said on this that the concept here, what the Gemara is saying, is that not only are the Brachos ma'akev each other, the says that the Yetzer and Avarab, you have to both say them both, otherwise one is a vatola, whichever you say, you got to say them both. But not only are they ma'akev each other, they also ma'akev the Shema. So if a person would just say Shema and miss one or both of the Brachos, even the Shema lane, at least on the Rabbanah level, is not a fulfillment of Shema. The mitzvah is not fulfilled because the bracha is a ma'akev the Shema. That's like the bracha is batmutzum a ma'akev. They are ma'akev. It happens to me the Seder isn't ma'akev, so you could say the Yoytzer later. And Rav Haigoin says that this is a problem because later on in brachas daf yud gimel it's mavur that the bracha is not ma'akev the Shema. Kol pashtus, it's talking over there about a person who's correcting a sefer Torah. He's reading the words as he corrects the sefer Torah, and when he gets to the parasha Shema, if he's keeping libo, he has a mind to be yoytzer Shema, then he's yoytzer. It's clearly mashma over there. So Rav Haigoin, the guy, did not make any bracha. He'd stam reading the Torah and saying the words. There was no special bracha, the birchas krishma. So over there it's mavur that you could say the shema and be yoytze. As long as you have a mind to be yoytze, the Mishnah says, then you yoytze shema. Ah, you didn't say a bracha. So you see over there, so Rav Haigoin, that the bracha is not ma'akev of the shema. So Rav Haigoin says it's a stirus hasugis, and whether bracha, making these brachas, birchas krishma, ma'akev of the film of the shema, and he says you can make a chiluk between tzibur and yochid, which is a somewhat cryptic answer which we won't get into. In other words, that he's suggesting that in public, Chazal place a greater responsibility on you, and in public, in Sibur, you have to dafke have the brachas in order to have the Shema, whereas b'yochid, Chazal is saying that a person just in private and out of the presence of a Sibur, he could be yoytzer the Shema, even without any brachas. Hakoponim, the Achrayim over here tumul a lot. The Shagasari has a lengthy discussion on this, Rav Haigoin, trying to understand what Rav Haigoin is saying. Because on the face of it, says the Shagasari, it's very, very difficult to understand where Rav Haigoin is coming from on this. Because l'chayra, the Gemara, and granted the Gemara is meduyuk over there, that the brachas is a ma'ak of each other. So if you say just one bracha, avarabba yoytzer, and skip the other one, so it's a bracha of a tol. You have to dafka say both, or else say neither, because the brachas are ma'ak of each other. The same there isn't ma'ak of, but the brachas are ma'akev. But the Gemara doesn't say a word over there about the brachas being ma'akev the Shema. What if you skip both brachas and just say Shema? What are you not yoytzer Shema? And the Rabbanah level that wasn't fulfilled, the bracha, the mitzvah of Shema. Who says that that is so? You don't see that at all in the Gemara. And therefore, where's the steer that the Rav Haigoin claims to have found? In the second parak, and the Yud Gimel and brachas is talking about whether you yoytzer Shema without brachas, and the answer is yes, you are. In the first parak, and the Yud Aleph, we're talking about whether you could be the brachas of ma'akev each other. In other words, I say one bracha of Avarabba, not yoytzer, or the reverse, am I yoytzer anything? And the answer to that is no, because you have have to say the entire Seder HaBrachas. You can say out of order, but you have to say the whole thing in order to a bracha to be considered a bracha. And Bachal, it's not even a steer. Where are we how are you going to see here at all that the brachas of Ma'akav the Shema? So on this we have a very big controversy. Rashagas Aryeh claimed that you see from over here a very, very big Yisoid, which he is somewhat Meirich on. He says the Pshat of Rav Hai going is that Vibal, that Rav Hai understood that both brachas of Shema have a din of brachas of mitzvahs. It's mamash like we just said before, by the way, from the Yosarua. Both brachas of Shema have a din of brachas of mitzvahs, the Yotzer and the Avarabo. So it's very, very readily something which you really need to ask, Zokter, that if you're going to say that the person made the bracha early morning, the kohen make the bracha of Avarabo, and the Yotzer the Shema, so if so, how could they make the Yotzer afterwards? The Chayr is the brachas of mitzvahs being made after the bracha, after the mitzvah was Yotzer, which he can't do. So he actually is understanding that we're being omitted on the same shtel that the Yotzerua had. The Yotzerua didn't have a problem with it. The Yotzerua is masik, that it must be, you could make a bracha after the mitzvah. But the Shagas Aryeh says the Chayr Haigun was very bothered by this. How could it be? The mitzvah already was done, and you're making a bracha now, it doesn't make sense. And yet we are saying that, because we're saying that you can make Avarab and the Shema, and then later on the day, you'll make Yotzer Ayetz after the mitzvah. So then, the Rav Haigun understood that the Pshat in this Sugya, the Mishnah and the Gemara, the Pshat in the Sugya is that Chazal said that the mitzvah of Shema Gufa is mitla tol of a koi. It's hanging in there, depending on whether the person will eventually say a bracha or not. So what Chazal did was to say that the Shema itself is not in Gansen, not totally fulfilled, unless the person made the bracha, and has to have the brachas on the Shema in order to have the Shema. And consequently, if you didn't have both brachas yet, you just said Avarabah and Shema, that whether you fulfill Shema itself is mitla tol of a koi. It's suspended in midair. The fulfillment, the kiyum mitzvah is suspended, based on whether you'll eventually get around to saying Yotzer or later on or not. Once you say that idea, that the kiyum mitzvah, the fulfillment of the mitzvah, is mitla tol of a koi, suspended in midair till you say the bracha, then I can understand, in other words, how it is that we're going to say that you say the Yotzer or later. In other words, a bracha mitzvah can never be said after the mitzvah. The answer is not after the mitzvah, because the mitzvah itself is hanging and left indeterminate, left hanging and to see whether you're going to eventually do the bracha on it. You do the bracha, then the mitzvah is fulfilled. You don't do the bracha, the mitzvah is not fulfilled. And mele, therefore, it's not cool that you did the bracha after the mitzvah fulfillment, because the mitzvah is actually not fulfilled until you did the bracha. As Ashagasai says, that's Shad of Haigoin, that's how he took out of our sugya, that unless and until a person makes a bracha on the krishma, at least b'tzibur, like Rav Haigoin comes out in the tzibur context, we're machmer on you, and unless and until you make the bracha, you didn't fulfill the Shema itself. That's why, in other words, you make the Shema, and still it's not a kiyum mitzvah until the person says the Yotzer. Rav Shachzon of Rocha and the Avi Ezri says that you see from this Shagas Aryeh, a tremendous, incredible thing, Zokter. He says there's a yesoid in this Shagas Aryeh that when Chazal say in a number of places that kol mitzvah is kulon, mevorachem aleihem, oiver la'asiyoson, that you have to make the bracha before it's done, the Shagas Aryeh understood that you don't have to make the bracha before the maisa ha-mitzvah, it's sufficient that you made the bracha before the kiyum ha-mitzvah. So say, for example, Rav Shach says in the case at hand right over here, the person said the Shema, the Kohenin said the Shema, they say it early in the morning by dawn, they're already saying the Shema. Did they say the bracha yet? No. However, since we're saying that the kiyum of Shema is suspended in mitla tol of a koi and left hanging in midair until later in the day when they get around to saying the Yotzer, and if they don't get around to saying the Yotzer, they don't have a kiyum, because that's the Chazal Masach, and the kiyum, the Rabbonin of Shema, requires that they said the brachas as well. So therefore, consequently, you're allowed to say the bracha later on, because it's koidim, it's before the fulfillment, the kiyum, it's for, even though it's obviously after the Maisa mitzvah, which was said earlier in the day. So that's the Shagas Aryeh's Yisoid, says Rav Shach, that the din of Oivel HaSiyosam, that the bracha has to be before the mitzvah, doesn't necessarily mean before the act of the mitzvah, but Maisa mitzvah, it's sufficient that it's before the kiyum. Rav Shach says that this is very shver. He says he claims to have rayas against this thing, and aside from the rayas that he brings, which he won't mimarich into, Rav Shach says that the whole lashon of the Chazal, kol mitzvah kulon, mevorachem aleihem Oivel LaAsiyosam, that contraindicates this Shagas Aryeh zok there. Oivel LaAsiyosam, the Chazal says zok there, Oivel LaKiyumon? No, they don't. They say Oivel LaAsiyosam. That says Chazal are looking upon the Maisa mitzvah, the activity of the mitzvah, and they're saying that the Seder that we are Mesakein is that you have to do the act of the making the bracha before you do the act of the doing of the mitzvah. They're not discussing when you're Mekayin the mitzvah, maybe it has some kind of Tanai and it's a condition and the key will go to your account later on. It doesn't make a difference that you're doing the act of the mitzvah now, the bracha has to be now as well. And therefore, consequently, Zoktav Dem, the Rav Shach, he says that they're going to have to find a completely different understanding of this Rav Haigoin and this Rashba Zokter, because there's no way to say that it's based upon the notion that Shema has two berachas mitzvahs, which is like some Rishonim say, and the Shagasai is miyachis that to the Rashba, the Rav Haigoin, Shema has two berachas mitzvahs, and I'm making my later berachas mitzvah later on, but it's okay because I didn't have the kiyum yet of Shema, which is not a true yesod of Shach says, and it's never going to work. So it's out there, what is the real understanding of the Rav Haigoin? So in my opinion, the real Havon of the Rav Haigoin is based upon a fundamental question that you have to ask, which is, what is this idea that the brochos of Krishna are ma'akev each other? Why would they ma'akev each other, and where's the logic in that? The Yotzer and Avarabo, if you make one or not the other, then even the one you made is nothing. So then where does that come from? I give an example, Zokter. A person has to say three brochos before he lights Ner Chanukah. The first night Ner Chanukah, you have to say three brochos. Is anybody going to suggest, says Rav Shach, that you make one, not the other, so it's the ma'akev each other? And the brocha you made is the brocha of a tola. Of course not, Zokter. Each one has its own role, they're completely distinct, one from the other. And whatever you make what you don't make, you don't make. But they're not the ma'ak of each other. So what would be the notion that underlies this idea of this Gemara, that the bracha of Yoytzair and Avarab, which are completely different brachas that have, conceptually speaking, no connection, they would entirely different. One is about the bria of light, of Ur, and the other, and it speaks about the Malachim over there, and the other is about the bria of Torah. So what is the connection? Why should anybody even think that brachas are ma'ak of each other? And Zokt of them, the Rav Shach, that based upon that question, the Rashba, the Rav Haigoin, sparred Ois, a Yesoid, in other words, that this idea that the brachas are the relationship, that the brachas have to Shema is not just the relationship of brachas and mitzvahs, but rather that Chazal understood that there is a chativa achas, a single unified entity, which is the brachas with the Shema. It's one amira. A person does say, you got to say brachas krishma with the krishma. You say the whole thing straight through from Yitzhar to the end of Gol Yisrael, and that is one unified entity which consists of brachas plus Shema. And there's a tzura da abonin to say in this exact manner with the brachas shalafon over the brachal achav and the Shema in the middle. That tzura da abonin zokt of them the Rav Shach. That's an akuda that we're dealing with over here. It's not interdependent on the general holistic question of birchas and mitzvahs and the relations to the mitzvah ba'alma. It's a specific question about the seder ha'amira of saying these various amiras in the morning, which Chazal masakein to say these brachos masuda around the Shema. And that Chazal understood that Chazal on the deraisa level Shema is just the krishma, the gimel parshias of krishma, whatever part is deraisa, all three parshias, whatever it is. But under Rabbanan deketzura Shema, says Rav Shach, the Surah Shema contains a Seder that contains the brachas before it and after it as well, and it's in that perspective, in that vantage point, Chazal is saying the brachas are ma'ak of each other because they comprise, to them with the Shema together, comprise one holistic, unified entity called the Seder Amira or Shema in the Shachar. So maybe Zokt of Demder Rav Shach, what the Rav Haigoin is dining on over here, is dealing with, is that if I understand correctly the idea behind the Brachas Ma'akvoy Zu Azu, you understand that even though we're only speaking of it from the vantage point of Brachas Ma'akvoy Zu Azu, it really means the Brachas and the Shema Ma'akvoy Zu Azu, because the Seder of Amiras HaShema is one unified Seder that includes the Brachas and plus the Shema as a whole. And therefore, if the brachas are ma'akav each other, then who are then the brachas are ma'akav the Shema? Says Rav Shach, that understood from this standpoint, from this perspective, we would recognize that from this Rashba, from this Rav Haigoin, there's no tzushtal and no raya to what the Rashba would hold regarding the machlekes, the Urzuru, and the Rambam about whether the brachas and mitzvahs could be said after a mitzvah. Because lo'olam zokt, it really could be that the bracha of Yotzer doesn't even relate to Shema as a brachas mitzvah, like we'll see, some hold that way. And we're not even getting into the question of how a brachas mitzvah relates to a mitzvah over here. Rather, we're discussing the relationship, the yachas of Yotzer to Shema in terms of this new yesoid of a Seder Amiras HaShema, which includes the brachas and the Shema. Now, the Ramban, and we'll see Mitzvah Shem, the Meiri, both diverged from what we had till now, the Urzarua, the Shagasari, that they held that the Broch of Yotzer and the Broch of Avarab both are Birchas and Mitzvahs, Klape the Shema. And the Ramban actually writes Lehedi in Brochas Tafir Aleph that only the Avarab has a din of a Birchas and Mitzvahs, Klape the Shema. It's the Broch which, as we'll see, it gets into Torah and it speaks about some of the Soidos that parallel what the Shema is. And Mela, that we could say that Avarab is a Birchas and Mitzvahs on Shema, but Masha Enkin, Zog the Ramban, Yotzer is not a Birchas and Mitzvahs on Shema. It's independent didn't mitzvah that you make upon oyer. It's rather it's mesudah to say that at that point in the davening, but it's not a brichas mitzvah shema. And the Ramban says that v'hochem imukach, it's mavur like that in the shmaitzah in the sugya of omel ha'munah bircha bracha achas, which is our sugya in Tomid with the Gemara in brachas. And the shaila, of course, is where did the Ramban find in our Gemara and in our Mishnah over here that the bracha of avarabba is a brichas mitzvah, but the bracha of yoytzer is not a brichas mitzvah. And this the pre Yitzchok says that the pshat derain is that the Ramban understood b'pshitus that a brachah mitzvah must be said before a mitzvah and cannot be said after the mitzvah. And in Meila, we have a very simple question we mentioned before from the Ozeru Agrad. I mean, how is it possible to say the bracha of Yoytzer after you already fulfilled the mitzvah of Shema? So on that, the answer is Ramban Sparois from over here that Yoytzer is not a brachah mitzvah. Avarabba is a brachah mitzvah, so we mock, but to say it dafka before Shema Yitaka can't say it after. Mashenkin Yoytzer is not a brachah mitzvah, it's a brachah shevach on the oyer, and you can say it after the Shema. And Mela, consequently, that's why we have the Avarabba said before the Shema, the Berchah Mitzvah can't be said later. Yitzhar, you say later on. And that's what Ramban understood, says the Pri Yitzchok, he took out of here that the Avarabba is a Berchah Mitzvah, and the Yitzhar is not a Berchah Mitzvah. Interestingly, similar to what the Pri Yitzchok says in his own Pshat and Ramban, is actually Mavur in the Me'iri over there in Brochas, except with the Knech. The Me'iri over there writes that, in his opinion, really neither of these Brochas, Yitzhar and Avarabba, are emes a Berchah Mitzvah. Fashtetzach says the Me'iri, you look at them, you see they don't have the Nusach of a Sheikh Zon Mitzvah of Tivonu, like any Berchah Mitzvah has. And conceptually speaking, also, like the Me'iri, the content of Yitzhar is certainly not the content of a Berchah Mitzvah on Shema. It speaks about the Yoyer and the Shir of the Malachim, and neither does Avarabba Be'etzem have the content of a Berchah Mitzvah on Shema. That's not really what it's about. It's about Shavachim of Torah and thanking Hashem for giving us Torah and etc. and so they're not Berchah Mitzvah. However, the Me'iri says that nonetheless, even though neither of these are Berchah Mitzvahs, the Avarabba was given a kirch of a Berchah Mitzvah that it patters up the Berchah Mitzvah of Shema. And it's because you say Avarabba, which is about Torah and is about some of the same Yisoidos that Krishna has, so therefore, Zok the Me'iri, because of that, Chazal would not massacre an independent Brocha Asher Kavzon of Sois of one Shema, because the Brocha of Avarabba fulfills it in its Bimkon the Brocha on Shema. And Mela Zokt of them the Me'iri, what would be Taka if a person doesn't have the ability to say Avarabba? He doesn't know the Nusach and he's not able to say it, he can't get a hold of it. In such a case, the Me'iri says that then a person with Taka Mechuyev to say, Mamash independent Brocha of Asher Kavzon of Sois of Tivonu, Al Krishma. At the Me'iri, Taka passes like that, La Halacha, and then in other words, really, it's all one Yisoy in the Me'iri. He's not saying exactly what the Pri Yitzchok is in the Yachas to Ramban, the Hainu that the Avarabba is a Berchah Mitzvah. So, in essence, if Avarabba would be the Berchah Mitzvah on Shema, you really have to Mo'ir that if Chazal Masakin, that that's the Nusach of the Berchah Mitzvah on Shema, then the Me'iri is not going to be right, Pashtus. If a person forgets it, he forgets it. You can't make up your own Berchah Mitzvah and say a Sheikh Zavon Zavonu if you're missing the new, if you don't know the real Berchah Mitzvah, Chazal Masakin on Shema. The Me'iri was able to say what he says, that if you don't know the real Nusach of Avarabba, you just say a Sheikh Zavonu, because he understands Al Pidarkoi, you go to Shitase really, and he understands Al Pidarkoi that even Avarabba is not a real Berchas Mitzvah on Krishma, not like the Ramban's Loshen that Avarabba is a Berchas Mitzvah on Krishma. He says it's not a Berchas Mitzvah on Krishma. It has its own koyach, its own independent mahus, that it's a bracha on the Shevach of the Ebrish that they're giving us to you. Nonetheless, because it has a concept that's similar to Berchas Mitzvah, it's a therefore Chazal Masakin that it should serve as the bimkvah of the Berchas Mitzvah and take away the need to say a Berchas Mitzvah. Once the Me'iri says that, he's able to sparois his next idea, which is that a Lu Yisur, a person Taka, does not have the ability to say Avarabba because he forgot it. So then, according to the Me'iri, you would Taka say the Berchah, which is a Chiddush, Me'iri is naming on. I mean, we don't really find that there is such a Bracha, but he's naming on that we would assume that this concept, this Bracha exists, Ashekhazan, while Krishma, which a person would say that, Lu Yitzur, that he wasn't saying the Bimkoim of that, the Avarabba, which fulfills that need and takes away the need for a Berchah and Mitzvahs. One last Indian over here on what it says in the Mishnah that they were, he said to them, Birchu Brachas, and they made a Bracha, Baruchu, and they said, Aseres Hadibrois, and they were Koru the Krishma. The Emes Gemara gets into this thing in Mesechta Brachas there in Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, that the Gemara discusses this thing that the Kohenim would say, Aseres Hadibrois. The Gemara points out that even the Medina, they were out to the Mikdash, they wanted to start saying, Aseres Hadibrois, but they didn't allow it because the concern that the Meen and the heretics would come to say that Ain Torah Elazu, in other words, that only this part, only Aseres Hadibrois was given in Hashem. Shamayim and the other parts of Torah would not chas v'shalom. So therefore, because of that concern, Chazal said that you don't say Aseret HaDibros in the Medina, but in the Mikdash, they would make the bracha of Yotzor Avarab, the different shitos, they would say Aseret HaDibros and they would say Shema. The first Yankov over here, which is in the new edition of Yochum Boaz Mishnayos, one of the Chornim of the Mishnayos, the first Yankov over here asked the basic question that what's a hefsek, he says, that L'choira, he says, how could Chazal say that you make a bracha of Avarabo and then immediately after that you have Aseret HaDibros and Mafsik interrupting you and the Shema, what happened to the din that you're not allowed to interrupt between the bracha and the mitzvah, and over here you're interrupting between the bracha and the Shema. So the various Yankov writes that Bemis he holds that the Yerushalmi and Brachas is asking this question. And Bemis, the truth is, if you look in the Yerushalmi, a note over there near the end of the first parak of Brachas, some of the before she Yerushalmi Takadu learned this pshat exactly like this various Yankov, that they learned that the Yerushalmi is actually bothered by this question. Yerushalmi is not clear, Kederach Yerushalmi, it's not explicit, but the Yerushalmi is raising this question. How could it be that they interrupted between the Birchas Hashma and the Krishma, but the Aseret HaDibros, how could they do that? So Yerushalmi gives two answers to this question. The first one is actually very cryptic. The first answer is the language of the Yerushalmi is that Zoyse Meres, the Eina Brochas Ma'akav Hashma, that the Brochas are not Ma'akav Krishma. Now, actually, on the face of it, this there doesn't really make sense. And the Mephoshim point this out, because even if the Brochas are not Ma'akav Shma, the Brochas are Ma'akav Shma, they're not Ma'akav Shma, we actually spoke about this just now. We said of all kinds of different opinions on the subject of the Brochas are Ma'akav the Shma, different days. But whatever it is, be that as it may, if the Brochas are or not Ma'akav the Shma, it doesn't really justify, L'chayr, now that you made the Brocha, why are you being mastered between the Brocha and the Shema? It sounds like a completely distinct, different question. If you made the Brocha and you're saying the Shema, why are you interrupting in between the Brocha and the Shema? So the Shulam Chaim Kanievsky says over there in his Perish on Yerushalmi that the Pshat in Eina Brochas Ma'akvas HaShema doesn't mean the literal meaning. But the Yerushalmi sometimes takes words and not in the literal sense. Eina Brochas Ma'akvas HaShema really means, says Chaim Kanievsky, that the Yerushalmi is being mechadish to you that the Brochas are not a Birchas HaMitzvah on Shema in the manner of ordinary Birchas HaMitzvah. So the Yerushalmi is coming out, to use our language, it's coming out like the Yisod of the Me'iri that we just said. That the Brochas are not a true Brochas HaMitzvahs, they don't say a Shekhan Zadah Zadah, they're not a real Brochas HaMitzvahs, and since they're not a real Brochas HaMitzvahs, they're Mesudah around the Shema, they're Mesudah to say them right before the Shema, but upon the Kepedos on Hefsik that you usually have between Brochas HaMitzvahs and Mitzvahs, you don't have over here, and that's what the Yerushalmi meant in a Brochas Ma'akvah, it says HaShema, meaning that they don't have the Yachas to Shema, that you usually imperative Yachas to Mitzvahs, Yachas directly to the Shema, they're not Brochas HaMitzvahs, and it's okay to be Mafsik with the Seret. That's the first Teretz of the Yerushalmi. The second Teretz of the Yerushalmi is that the various Yankiv, which other Mephoshim also learned this way, is that the Yerushalmi answers by saying that Aseret HaDibros hein hein gufon shel Krishma, that the Aseret HaDibros themselves are the guf of Krishma, which the Yerushalmi interestingly goes on and explains that all of the Aseret HaDibros are actually all alluded to in different parts of the Shema. The Yerushalmi says Shema Yisrael is a reference to Anoich Hashem Alekecha, that Shema Yisrael, that the Ibishtir is one, that's Anoich Hashem Alekecha. Hashem Alekeinu Hashem Echod means Lo Yilucho Alehim Acher, in other words, you can't have anybody other than the Ibishtir, so that's Hashem Echod. V'havtis Hashem Alekecha is a reference to Loisif Hashem Hashem Alekecha L'shov, you can't swear falsely, because if you love the Ibishtir, you won't swear falsely in his name. And it's not right that the Yerushalmi goes through that the entire Shema contains references and parallels to the Aseret HaDibros, which means that the Tiferes Yankiv, what the Yerushalmi is trying to say is that that's not a hefsek, because it's all Me'inyan, it's all one Inyan. That says that the person is saying the Birchas Hashma, and he says Shema, and he says Aseret HaDibros, which is the same Yisoid of the Shema, it's one entity, one Inyan, and therefore consequently it does not constitute a hefsek. So the Tiferes Yankiv says that this Kasha is Lamaisa asked by the Yerushalmi, and answered with these two Trutzim, and as we said, some of the Yerushalmi actually do say this. The fact is, though, interestingly, that the Me'iri actually asked this Kasha a little bit by Richos over there in Brochus and doesn't bring the Yerushalmi. The Me'iri asked this Kasha, how could you interrupt, and they're interrupting Koyanim, the Beis HaMikdash, are saying the Brocha on the Shema and saying the Shema, interrupting the Sadibis is like a Hefzik. So Meir brings down over there three Terutzim, which I'll go through briefly. The first Teretz that the Meir brings down is, he says that Pirshu Rabbim, that many Mephoshim said this thing, as Dr. Meiri, is that Aseret HaDibros in the Mikdash was Niskan as a Takona to be a Chelak, like a Chativa Achas, one unit together with Shema, similar to the way the Gemara says in Brochas that Hashem's Fosei Tiftoch was Niskan to be one unit with Shemesrei, and therefore consequently Hashem's Fosei Tiftoch is like a Chelak of Shemesrei, is not a Hefzik in Gula Tfilah, the Gemara says over there, because Hashem's Fosei Tiftoch is part of the Tfilah Richter, like part of Shemesrei. Go Yisrael, the Gemara says over there, with Hashkiveinu, like a Kula Richta. So Chazal am saying that it should be one unit, and therefore it doesn't interrupt, contain an interruption, a hefsek. And Melehu Adin over here says the Meiri that many learned that in the Mikdash they were saying that the Aseres Hadibros should be one Chativa Achas with the Shema and the similar to Hashem Svasi before Shemir Esrei, and Melehu consequently it's not going to be a problem of a hefsek. The Meiri doesn't really like this teres too much because he tainas that they didn't just say it in the Mikdash. He says originally they were going to say it in the Medina as well, and until they decided they were nervous from the heretics, they didn't want to say it, but they were going to say it in the Medina, and the Meiri says it's mashma to him, the Pashtus, that in the Medina they were just going to say it voluntarily, without instituting it as part of the Etzem Seder at Tfilah, in which case it's really mashma that Hashem Svasi Tiftach is intrinsically not a hefzik, not because they were masakin it, because maybe they were masakin in the Mikdash doc there, but they weren't masakin in the Medina. A second teretz that the Meiri brings down is that since Hashem Svasi, since Aseret HaDibrois are conceptually related to Shema, like the Yerushalmi says, that the parts of Shema parallel the ten Aseret HaDibrois, that therefore it's all one inyan, and it's May inyan, and therefore it doesn't constitute a hefsik, which as we said, many say that the Yerushalmi itself is actually saying that teret to this kasha. The Meiri, though, did not understand that the Yerushalmi is saying it as a teret. The Yerushalmi is just telling you what you saw, that there's a parallel between Aseret HaDibrois and Shema, and some said, therefore, that it's not a hefsik or this May inyan. The Meiri personally doesn't like that either. He says that the notion that something is May inyan and below related to the subject, and therefore not a hefsik between the bracha and the thing making the bracha on, the Meiri says that's very narrowly defined. If a person, for example, the Gemara says later in brachas over there, that if a person made a bracha and realizes that he didn't feed the animal, so you could say gevilaturi, they give the food to the oxen in order that you should be able to eat, because you have to have the animals eat for you. Because over there it's a hechrech and a tzorech, says the Meiri, you have to have that take place before you eat, so therefore you can make the amira of gevilaturi to feed the animals. Now Shein came over here, it's not a hechrech or a tzorech, nobody's forcing them to say Aseres HaDibrois, let's not say Aseres HaDibrois, and therefore consequently he says that he doesn't feel that the fact that it's conceptually related, like the Yerushalmi brings out, is enough to justify the hefsik between the bracha and the shema. So the final teretz the Meiri comes out with is, Zokter, according to what I, the Meiri, said before, that I explained before, Zokter, that the bracha is on shema, not a real brachas and mitzvahs, and they're not directly on the shema. One of them is on the oyer and the other is on the Torah. The one is on lighters and the other is on Torah. They're not really, they were sniskan to say in proximity to shema, but they're not mamish brachas on the shema, so therefore, the problem of being mafsik, of interrupting, is lessened, and therefore you don't really have a real din of a hefsik, and there, Chazal could tell them that they should say that there's a dibrit, since these brachas are not directly on the Shema in the first place. Interestingly, although the Meiri says this teretz on his own, as we said, Rav Chaim Kanievsky and some beforeshim say that the Yerushalmi itself is saying that teretz, and they learn that it actually is the first teretz in the Yerushalmi. According to this Yisoid, of course, it's going to come out that the Shita of the Yerushalmi is that the brachas, both brachas on Shema, are not directly on the Shema, and neither of them has an etzem intrinsic label of the brachas and mitzvahs relative to the Shema.
You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on any daf in Shas, including Myra McClamis on each shiur, please visit shasilluminated.org. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the daf worldwide. We can be reached at 203-312-SHAS, or you can email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.